everyone, welcome to the first all-lady Star Trek RPG podcast. That's right, there are no men involved, no male players, no male DMs, no male rules lawyers, no boys allowed.
Except no boys.
For Steven, who's kind of sitting next to Deanna and Heather. I guess let's introduce ourselves. I'm Susie. I'm being your narrator for the evening.
Did I just hear Leaf?
What? You're already ruining our podcast?
You bet he is.
Hi, I'm Susie. I'll be your narrator for the evening. And these are my friends. Introduce yourselves. Not all at once.
I'm Deanna. I'm playing this game with you.
What are you playing?
What, like, who am I playing? Or should I, yes. Are we doing, like, full introductions?
Oh,
or...
that might as well, right?
Okay.
Let's go for it.
Sure, why not?
I am playing a young, we're lieutenants, right?
Yes, we're all lieutenants. Well, you're okay. All lieutenants.
Yeah. Lieutenant, I am Bajoran, and my name is Posa Izael.
Oh, hold on. I have to write this down.
Okay.
Steven, don't laugh. I'm putting mine in the chat so you have the spelling.
Okay, good. Yeah, I can put mine in the chat, too.
Oh, my kingdom for some scrap paper.
I can mail you some of my 8 million notebooks.
You decided to start a DMing campaign with no scrap paper in front of you?
It's all online now. So say it again. It's Posian?
Posa. P-O-S-A.
Posa.
Oh, thank you.
And so that's like my last name, so I'm like Lieutenant Posa.
Okay.
And Izael is like my, you know, the name my friends call me, but I don't really have friends. It's Y-Z-A-E-L.
Y-Z-A-E-L. Cool.
Heather, go.
I'm Heather. And I'm playing Lieutenant.
Oh, do I need to tell Leaf to stop scraping his pan?
Maybe.
Danny says she can hear you scraping your pan. He says he's almost done. Can you not scrape your pan for, like, how long do you need to scrape your pan? No. Are you done?
A little bit of pan frying, but that's it.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, Heather, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Heather. I'm playing Lieutenant Agah. Loxus Agah.
Loxus?
Loxus.
Okay.
L-O-X. I-S.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an apostrophe in a G?
Yes. No, just in Loxus. L-O-X, okay. Apostrophe I-S.
Oh, okay.
A-G-U-G-H. A G. Obviously, I'm Klingon.
And, Danny, what are you playing?
I'm playing I don't know how I want to pronounce it.
Einar. I think it's Einar.
Einar. Okay. Yeah. Einar. A subrace of the Andorian people. And my name is Savia Shekel, which I put the spelling in the chat if anybody needs it.
Last name is Shekel or yeah. Savia?
Last name's Shekel.
Okay. Cool. All right. Oh, and I guess tell me a little bit. So what is Lieutenant Posa's specialty? What is she going to bring to the group?
I am in the sciences. I'm a field officer. I wanted to focus on, xenobiology.
Okay.
I know, like, general humanoid sort of health sciences because I had to learn those things. I'd rather focus on non-humanoid things because I don't like humanoids.
So you're really kind of our blue shirt?
Yes.
You're our science officer, right?
Yes.
Okay. Heather, you're our...
Security.
Correct. You're a one-woman security team.
That's right.
And Danny, you are?
Engineering. I'm the yellow shirt.
So we got two yellow shirts and a blue shirt. We don't have any red shirts, but that's, I mean, that's okay.
Well, you could be tactical, and that's I could a be red tactical. Shirt, right?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I don't.
Do we have to have the Starfleet rainbow? Fuck red shirts.
No, we don't need a red shirt.
That's true. It's true.
And in fact, I'm going to put red. You guys. You just wear red. I'm going to put you guys on a small enough ship where it's really not important. Everyone does a little bit of something, so.
Yeah, that's right.
So that
get
brings
used
us,
to that.
This brings us to our next question. I didn't name you guys a ship.
Oh, the Star Blaster?
I didn't. Nope.
Star Blaster.
Star Blaster. Sky Dancer?
Sky Dancer.
Okay, so think of a good Starfleet name for a ship. I would say your ship, we don't really have a time frame in mind set. I think we all kind of agree that it would be after TNG and DS9 and Voyager, but who knows how far. Everything that we know and love from the series that we've watched are a part of our universe.
Okay.
So we don't have to dance around that. And I also want to say that if anyone's listening to this and you decide you need to like interject in some comments about how we don't have encyclopedic knowledge of both D&D 3.5 edition and the Star Trek universe, fuck right off. We don't care.
Go fuck yourself.
So with that in mind, what do you want to call your ship? It's probably going to be, it's not going to be like a defiant, like battleship. It'll probably be more of a smaller hood style ship. What was the hood? It was an Excelsior class.
Do we want to do like a person from canon, or do we want to make up a name like Defiant and stuff?
How about the Skink?
The Skink?
The Skink?
That's an animal, right?
Yeah.
But don't they usually name them after like historic people or places? Like,
but the Defiant isn't.
No, I suppose right. not. But like Crazy Horse and like whatever.
Fuck it, it's your ship.
Susie, we have just to think of things though.
Just don't call it Star Blaster. No, I mean like I'm looking at the naming.
There was a name I remember I heard and I was like, ooh, that, and I put it in the chat forever ago, but I don't, it was like Star Blaster, but not Star Blaster. It was good.
They're named after, they seem to be named after people, places, constellations.
Skink.
That doesn't make any sense.
Still,
the mythical skink.
Native American folklore?
No, but do you?
No.
The hell is a skink anyway? It's a
like a
it's a lizard?
No, I thought yes. It was like a small mammal. No, it isn't.
No, it's a lizard. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Shows how much I know.
It's like, it looks a lot like a snake, but it has legs.
I mean, there was a USS Monitor.
Ooh, I like the Monitor. Okay, so, like, we could do, like, Komodo or something.
Komodo sounds fine. What's wrong with that?
Do we want to make it, like... like Komodo in the dragon, or like Kimodo, like some sort of Japanese name?
Well, I don't know. What's the significance of Kimodo?
I don't fucking know. What's the significance of Skink? What's the significance of Star Blaster?
We do know that the only Asian people that Star Trek writers seem to understand are Japanese people.
Yeah.
If the rest of them are
Japanese or just vaguely Asian.
The rest of Asia is an amorphous blob to the Star Trek writers.
I could have sworn you said Alka-Seltzer. That's terrible.
Yeah, I like Komodo.
You like Komodo?
Yeah.
So Komodo dragon?
Let's do it. Like Komodo dragon.
Komodo?
We're like sneaky. Like, it won't seem like we're going to kill you, but we will.
Yeah, well, that's poisonous. True. It's true.
We're fucking poisonous.
Bite the shit out of the back of your leg.
Now you'll be like, oh, that's totally safe to have like 12 of me as pets, but then like, nah, you're dead, bruv.
Nah, bruv.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we got our character, we got our cast, we got our ship. I think we can get started.
Did I say what my name was back in the day?
Yes.
Did I say Danny? Okay. Well, I'm Danny.
Well, Susie introduced you as Danny.
Oh, okay, good. So. I couldn't remember if I said it.
She's Danny.
Yep.
So, okay, let's run this through this. Lieutenant Posa, Lieutenant Agog, and Lieutenant...
Agug.
Agug. Agug. Yeah. Agug.
Pardon me. It's Agug.
I couldn't read my writing there. And Lieutenant...
Shakel.
Shakel, okay. Is that what this is? It the Shakels with a C or the Shakels with an S?
It's S-H apostrophe Q-E-L-L-E-S.
Oh, shit. I spelled it all wrong.
Well, I know. I put it in the chat, wow. Motherfucker.
Okay. I didn't look at the chat.
S-H apostrophe Q-U-E-S. All right.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it. I already need more Di Serono.
You can spell it however you want.
Okay, you'll go get some more Di Serono. The magic of editing is that as long as we... Oh, but the magic of the way we're doing this is it doesn't even matter if we talk over each other or how many breaks we take. Got enough wine?
Okay. Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone beveraged up?
I'm yes. Beveraged up.
All right. Captain's log. Stardate. Whatever. After several days of uneventful exploration in the Darren sector, our long-range sensors detected a Starfleet distress call originating from a planet in the Rogun system. It comes from the USS Patuxent. A runabout reported missing from Starbase 54 2 months ago. We've been ordered to retrieve the crew and, if possible, salvage the Patuxent. I'm about to meet my senior officers. Well, I don't know if you... I'm about to meet some of my officers to discuss our options. The three of you, find yourself... Oh, I wrote down the captain's name. I'll let you know it ahead of time. It is, you serve aboard the USS Komodo with Captain... Tekov. She is a Vulcan woman. She probably looks about 50. I think you've probably done enough research on her before you were aboard
the ship. 50 human, 50 Vulcan.
50 human. She looks about 50 human, so I would say she's probably 80 or 90 Vulcan.
Well, T'Pol was 80 or 90 Vulcan.
Oh, she looked like a baby.
Yeah, but she looked like 20. So okay. If she looks 50-ish human, she's probably like 250.
One. Well, Vulcans only live to be like 200, I thought.
That doesn't sound right.
I'm looking it up right now.
Twitter will explode.
Vulcan age.
Good news. No one on Twitter is listening to this.
It's established that Vulcans can live over 200 years of age, but they don't say what the end age range is.
Then, maybe.
Saren was 230, so we'll say T'Kav is about 130.
Okay.
You are all sitting in Captain T'Kav's captain's ready room. Captain T'Kav is not there yet, but you're looking around you, and the ready room is very sparsely furnished, as you might expect a Vulcan's ready room to be, not unfurnished. Probably some flutes and bullshit on the wall, but not a lot. Not a lot of decorations.
Can it
just
be a
real
French
matter
horn?
Of fact?
An ocarina.
Sure. You know what? She really mastered during her time in the academy. She mastered the French horn and the ocarina.
Yes. This woman is stupid and I hate her.
This is why you're on the USS Komodo. Keep that your mouth shut about the captain.
There's kind of something to the USS Komodo that you can't quite put your finger on, but you all know collectively about yourselves privately that you have getting assigned to a ship is sort of a big deal. There are a lot of people in Starfleet who never get to serve on a ship. They spend their time on planets. They spend their time on star bases. But being assigned to a ship is a bit of bragging rights. And I think you all collectively, for your own private reasons, at some point in your past, weren't sure. You either served on a ship before or you've never served on a ship. But something happened where you were pretty sure you were never going to be assigned to a ship again in your entire career. That you were just going to be scuttled to a starbase and just be a regular Starfleet person. But here you are. You're fresh on the Komodo. You haven't been around for very long. You haven't really gotten time to warm up to your captain. You just know about what you've read in her official record. And you, I would say you probably all have been on the ship for maybe a month. So you don't even really know each other that well. I take that back. We did establish that all of you had crossed paths at the academy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's gonna be some juicy flashback game material.
I do need that.
Flashback.
Juicy.
Mm-hmm. So how well you know each other from the academy, I'm gonna leave open to you. You can organically, you know, make that a storyline.
Heather just raised her eyebrows at me.
Said, yeah, I was thinking that same thing. I was like,
no.
Heather quote, thinks she had quote, sex with both of us.
Yeah. Oh, well, do I know you?
Oh, yeah. I guess we'll put a disclaimer in at the beginning of the show, but this show is not going to be for, like, kids. There's
nope.
going to be sex and swearing and all sorts of gross stuff. And we are definitely not officially aligned with Big Rod.
No.
The Roddenberry family. And this is very much a fan thing. And we don't have sanctions. We're not aligned with the Wizards of the Coast. We're using a kind of a defunct system that's been open source, like basically open sourced.
We're rogues.
We're not.
We're rebels.
Yeah. We're not tied to this new Star Trek game that's coming out. None of that. The adventure I am using to give credit is from the early to this adventure that I did not write. It's just our kind of our leaping off base. It's from the 2000-ish early 2000s Star Trek role-playing game system that is very long since defunct. So if you can find it, it's loosely based off the D20 system. Anyway, all that aside, all the nerd shit aside.
All that fun nerd shit. Let's get into
all the other nerd shit now.
You're all sitting in this ready room and the door behind you hisses open and Captain T'Kav enters. She smiles amiably, you know, in a Vulcan way, and takes her seat behind the desk. She looks at you, folds her hands on her desk, and nods, and says, "Ah, yes, how are you all doing? It's been a busy month, all of us getting used to our new home. I have not been on the ship much longer than you have." She looks at you, Lieutenant Poza. "Ah, Lieutenant Poza, how has your month been?"
"Hello, Captain. Thank you. I want to tell you how much I appreciate being assigned to this ship and under your command. My month has been, well, I'm here, so I'm sure you can probably assume, and I'm sure you already know, in fact, that it hasn't been great, but I assume it will get better."
"Well, I hope your month here on the ship has been okay. I mean, I understand, you know, I have read all of your records. And I'm acquainted with all of your histories. And hopefully that this is the second chance that many of us need."
"Agreed."
Lieutenant... Agug, am Agug. I saying that correctly? Oh, yes, thank you. How has your month been?"
"It's been pretty delightful."
"Oh."
Said no Klingon ever.
she actually raises her eyebrows and looks a little bit, you know, betrays a little emotion at you.
I'm just smiling. as you would think I might be.
Ah, yes. Well, excellent. And Lieutenant Shakel, how about you? Is everything going smoothly for you?
Yes, ma'am. My month has been fine. Acceptable.
Excellent. The engines, they've been treating you kindly. This is a bit of an older ship, so I know you've got a lot of work.
She's in working order. Much improvement to be done.
Well, I'll leave it to your capable hands. Well, I mean, I did not invite you all in here just for pleasant chats. We have a situation. 2 months ago, runabout from Starbase 54, the Patuxent, they were conducting a survey of the neighboring system, and 3 days into that survey, they reported back that they were having some troubles with their warp drive. Then they were never heard from again. Starfleet conducted an extensive search, but after a week, they declared it lost. Yesterday, though, our sister ship, which doesn't have a name, detected...
Why would it?
It says the hood in here.
The skink?
Our sister ship, the skink, detected the runabout's distress signal coming from Rogan 2. Our ship is now en route to that planet, even as we speak, which you all know, of course. If you were wondering why we were headed there, that's why. So I'm entrusting this mission to find the runabout and the survivors to the three of you.
Thank you, Captain.
What do we know of Rogan 3? Or whatever the name of the planet was. I actually wasn't listening. Sorry, guys.
No, Rogan 2. No, 2. That's... You were very close. Ah, yes. Rogan 2. That's a good question. I think in the past, some ship or starbase did a survey, but I'm going to need you to look in the records to find out more information.
Like, roll a d20 to find out more information? Or?
I mean, yes. Not right now, but let me know. Do you have any questions from the captain? Go ahead and ask them. That was a good one.
How many people were aboard the runabout?
There were three. There was... Boy, that would be nice if this... It was Ensign Davis. I know that for sure.
Seems like we might have more info on Ensign Davis later. Probably a captain
and two other officers who I'm sure whose names will come back to me as we progress the storyline more.
Captain, do we actually give a shit about this runabout? Or
Lieutenant Poza, watch your mouth. Shit.
I see you have decided to speak freely in my chambers, Lieutenant.
Pardon me, Captain.
Do we care about these three Starfleet members in particular? No. I mean, yes, of course we do. But your question really gets to the heart of the matter. I don't know much about Rogan 2, and I invite you to do a little bit more research based on the one prior study. But the one thing I do know about the prior study is that it is home of a Stone Age civilization, which means that this retrieval is going to be
tricky.
Subject to the Prime Directive. Absolutely. Very tricky.
Yeah.
So
what was the runabout doing at Rogan
2? They were doing a survey. They were trying to bolster apparently the information we had scrapped together 7 years ago on this planet. Wow, the Prime Directive is not
no, it is.
It's not.
Okay. I was just looking for the major tenets of the Prime Directive. They were doing a study of the society and the planet that the society inhabits. We don't know much, And unfortunately, without their data, which they did not send back, we don't know any more than we knew 7 years ago. So for us, this is partially an extraction, partially a damage control mission. We need to see how badly things have gotten out of control.
Are we making the assumption that this civilization has perhaps come across the runabout or the crew?
That's a really safe assumption to make. I'm not sure where the runabout crashed.
We do know it's on the planet.
We do know it's on the planet. We need your skills to do a little bit more reconnaissance to find out when we get there, when we get in orbit, to figure out where it is and what the situation looks like. Right now, I don't have a lot of information. So what I'll need you to do, I'll give you the handy dandy list. I'll need you to put together a list of the crew and any data that may be relevant to them as crew members. I'll need you to put together whatever data you can on Rogun 2. This is before you go in. Do some whatever scans you need to of the planet. Scan for the location of the crash runabout. And if necessary, figure out a way to destroy the runabout on the planet. Since this is a primitive Stone Age society, having a crashed runabout on their planet could drastically alter the direction that they take socially.
Yep.
And I'll need you to put together the away team and needed equipment, right, to do a away mission. So, with that, if you have no other questions, we'll be in Rogun 2 in 2 hours. I recommend you start putting some information together.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, Captain.
All right, she just dismisses you, and you're free to start thinking of how to get that information.
My first thought is I would go to my quarters and close the door and not talk to anybody and start using whatever I had, data pads or, you know.
Sure.
Well, we would have systems. To, I mean, we were in the captain's ready room just now, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So we all have to leave and go somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, so. We have to verbally say I get up from the chair and I walk 10 steps out the door.
No, of course not. Of course not. But we can have the conversation amongst ourselves right outside the door as to how the hell we're going to proceed.
Yeah. Get in character. Talk amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's Loxys?
Loxys.
Loxys. I'm going to call you Lox.
All right.
Because I'm going to act
like immediately? You've, like, just met her.
No.
We've known each other for a month. Oh,
excuse me.
That and we've met prior to.
Prior.
Yeah.
I also don't want to call you Lieutenant Agug, so I'll probably be calling you Loxys. Agug.
Agug. You did briefly meet each other, at least briefly. I don't know how far it goes back or how intimate it got, but at least briefly at the Academy. So you do have that sense of familiarity, that sense of collegial sort of familiarity.
Okay. As we get up and walk out, I'm going to kind of nudge Loxys, and I'll be like, so, Lox, are the rumors true? I've heard quite a bit since we left Academy and since we've even gotten on this ship. I know you.
What have you heard?
Many things I wish to not repeat myself.
Oh, well, if you can't repeat them, then I have no idea.
Ladies.
Noted.
Can we focus on the mission?
Absolutely.
Let's go look up some shit about the planet. I don't know. What room do they do that in? What do, like, non-senior officers do their computer research?
And all the places the computer senior lab. Officers do. So, Danny, as your narrator, I'll gently suggest, right? Danny, you're the engineer, so you might want to put together information about the runabout.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'll work on the planet, looking up data on the planet and planet scans once we get there.
I'm happy to look up data on the crew.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. You got it. So
shall
this
we
is where
do
gonna...
our individual research and reconvene at like whatever sensor array station when we're in orbit?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm gonna need you guys to do some dice rolling.
Oh yeah.
Woo! Just some d20s. We'll just do some skill checks. Let me look at. So for.
I don't want to use this. It's gonna be super loud.
That's fine.
Finally, dice roll.
I can edit. If you roll your dice and then pause and then say the number, I can edit out the sound of the loud rolling dice.
Okay, because I got a dice tower. So.
Unless it sounds cool.
Or I'll just muffle the sound of the dice rolling and leave it in, right? Editing.
Okay.
So you're going to do the search for the planet. Give me... Well, first of all, give me a roll. Oh, let me tell you... Well, who? I need to tell you what you're rolling.
Yeah, who's... Am I rolling?
Who's rolling? Well, we're all rolling something.
Who's... Okay. Deanna?
Yes.
You're doing the planet?
Yes.
Give me knowledge... You got Earth Life Sciences, right?
Yes.
Give me a roll on Earth Life Sciences.
Ooh. I can't do math. 19, 20, 22,
23. Oh, that is really good. I will send you the information about the planet 'Kay. In a message.
Okay.
And it's up to you to share it with your team.
Okay.
Heather?
Yep.
I want you to do a roll on...
I can do profession.
Yes, do profession, because it is in line with your profession to know what who's a troublemaker and who's not. Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Okay.
And, yeah, go ahead.
So I've only got one d20 in this mess.
10.
That's fine. That'll get you some information. You'll have more information about the planet than the crew, but that's fine. 10's not a failure. And Danny, you're doing research on...
The runabout.
The runabout. So you give me a roll on...
What's the name of the runabout again?
It was the Patuxent.
Patuxent?
Patuxent.
Patuxent. Like Punxsutawney Phil almost.
Patuxent.
Yeah.
Computer, display information on runabout USS Potumpkin. Potumpskit. Fuck. Can say it again? What is it? Potump.
Patuxet.
Patuxet.
Patuxet. Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you. Computer.
It's a dumb name, and I don't know where it comes from.
Computer.
Call it potato.
Display information on USS Patuxet.
Major Barrett's voice says something.
Susie. I rolled a critical failure.
Oh no! Would you roll a one?
Yes.
What's your modifier?
For what? Gather information.
For computer use.
I mean, it should be good because I'm the engineer, right? But
you rolled three. You got four.
I got four in total.
Which is not that is a failure. So, we don't know much about. The ship going in.
I'll know it when I see it. It's fine.
So, it's like, oh yeah, the Patuxet.
See, what happened was when I was asking the computer for the info, I said the wrong name, and so I didn't get anything. No results found.
Yep.
I'm just gonna read this out loud, and you're going to narratively decide if you share this with your team members. Deanna.
Yes.
Rogun 2. Actually, I could just take a picture of this and text it to you if that works.
Okay.
Oh, except my phone's dead. Never mind. Rogun 2 is a Class M planet, of course, because where else would you crash land?
Yeah.
It's a moonless world in orbit of a red main sequence star. It's slightly smaller than Earth and has slightly less gravity, but not enough to really make that much of a difference. It has 243 days a year, 21 days in a month. It's very humid. It's very damp. You know that there is a sapient species named the Hooth. This is what you found. You found the the previous survey from 7 years ago. Uh-huh. There's a sapient species named the Huthi. Who knows if that's what they call themselves. That's just what they've been named because no contact has been made with them per the Prime Directive. They're humanoid and share many features with Earth deer. They're they're herbivores, and there's about 1.5 million of them on the planet. They are level one tech level, which means Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
So no iron, no bronze. Basically, they're not to metal yet. They're tribal and government structure, and their culture is very survival focused, tribal. And that was the tiniest meow.
It's Hugo.
That's Hugo.
There's a heavy tree cover, high quantities of peat and iron. That's mostly the most important information.
Okay, so there's a very decent amount of cover, basically.
Yes, there's a lot of tree. It's very lots of foliage. Almost like I would say probably like a rainforest, right? Humid, lots of tree cover, tribal deer people. Stone Age. As far Heather as you, Lieutenant Loxus, you found out about the away team that got themselves into trouble. They crashed. The away team is there's Ensign Davis.
Well, that's the problem. You sent a couple of ensigns.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, always send the captain, the first officer, the security chief, the counselor, chief engineer, doctor, on every mission.
Yes.
Lieutenants Kelly and Wickman and Ensign Davis. You don't know much about Kelly and Wickman, pretty standard lieutenants, not a lot going on there. I mean, just really by the book. What you do know about Ensign Davis is that he got a reprimand for failing cultural relations and had to retake it. And he only graduated after passing cultural relations. So that's on his record. And he is wet behind the ears, right? He's still an ensign. Or mm-hmm. I guess in Harry Kim's case, an ensign for 7 years, so not so wet behind the ears.
Wow.
So, but that's Harry. Not this
many
ensign's case.
Ensigns are like Harry Kim.
No. this one's a new ensign. So that's what you found out. You found out. Oh, and Danny, you know what the report said?
I spilled my coffee on the console, so.
You know that they lost control. Something malfunctioned in their warp coil during warp. And they, where they ended up on Rogan 2 was not anywhere near where they were supposed to end up. They actually were not going to be surveying this. I take that back. They're not going to be surveying this planet. They landed on this planet by accident because their warp coil malfunctioned. And they crash landed. And you can kind of, you know, do some calculations and figure out why they crash landed. But other than that, you don't really know much more than what the official report tells you.
Right.
So with all that in mind, the captain would like to know what your plan of attack for going down to the planet is.
Well, I would say we should do some initial scans of the surface once we're in orbit. Try and find a general location of the runabout. See if we can determine life signs. That whole jazz.
We'll say you're in orbit now.
Okay. Let's scan it. Scan that shit.
All right. Someone needs to give me a... Give me a research check. Whoever's good at research, go ahead. Is anyone good at research? Who's got the highest intelligence? Go ahead and give me research.
I have the highest intelligence. Isael.
Yeah, it's going to be Dee Dee. She's our skill monkey.
I got a +3.
That's pretty good.
I rolled 11 for research.
Everyone can do a check if they want.
I'm rolling.
I don't have research.
Oh, 23.
Okay.
Woo!
Deanna found some information. Excuse me. It's going to take me a while to remember all y'all's names. Lieutenant Poza found some information. And then as you were looking at it, Lieutenant Shakel?
Yeah.
Came over and said, whoa, whoa. Well, I don't know if you said that. But you looked at it and you saw some information that she did not pick up on.
And I give her a nasty look.
Well, I like boosted the scanning capabilities with some kind of engineering mumbo jumbo, so.
You did some techno babble.
Yeah, I know to press like control shift when you do it, it just boosts it.
But I'm still going to give you a nasty look.
That's fair.
You have determined the location of the runabout. You have also determined that about 100 yards away from the runabout is a what appears to be a small tribal village.
What?
That's very close.
Yes.
What kind of information are, is there any other information you're looking for in particular?
Life signs? Of our crew members specifically?
So you're looking for...
Can we do that? Signatures, their comm badges.
Yeah, so if you're going to pick up on... And Denson Davis is a human. So if you're going to try to pick up on a human life sign, it's a little bit faint, but you can pick up something in that village. One human life sign. And you can pick up 3 comm badges. 2 about... 20 yards away from the crash site, and 1 in about the same area that Ensign Davis seems to be in that village.
It's bad news. So can we get the doctor to, like, make us look like deer somehow? Or get some, like, cloaking, you know, whatever bullshit tech? We should try to blend in, is what I'm saying.
Do you want to ask the doctor?
I mean, are they bipedal?
They are bipedal, yep.
Well, then, yeah, we should probably try to get, you know, get the plastic surgery to, like, not look weird.
The doctor says, right? Ooh, that's a doctor, Dr. McKenzie says, that's a great idea in theory. Except, unfortunately, the USS Komodo's not really got those capabilities. This is not a galaxy-class starship. Unfortunately, we're running on a little bit older tech.
And give us the good scalpels, eh?
I can give you a medical kit with a medical tricorder, but that's about it.
I'll take it.
So, she'll definitely
make... I have a Snapchat filter for it.
So do we have any way to disguise ourselves or even just sort of mask our visual?
Not really.
Nothing. So we just gotta sneak.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, your ship's not got the latest and greatest technology.
Ooh, I got an idea. Can we lock transporters on the lieutenant that's, like, in the mix?
You can certainly
campaign
try.
Campaign over! Thanks, Danny!
I mean, you could give it a try.
Let's try it. Why the fuck not, right? I'm sure there's interference, but, you know, whatever. Should I roll?
No. I mean, you go down to the engineering room, ask the... Not the engineering. The transporter room. Ask the chief transporter to get a lock on Ensign Davis's comm badge and try to beam up. Definitely beams up the comm badge, but that's about it. And lets you know that if you want to get Davis, you're going to have to get your hands on him, right, and do the whole two to beam up thing.
Curses.
Okay, well, we need to beam down.
We need to get that runabout the fuck off the planet, right? That's kind of...
How far is it away? Because they said destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can get it flying again. Can we not get it flying again and get it out of there?
Can we do any sort of scan on the runabout to know if it's functional?
What happened? What went wrong?
The scan of the runabout gives you a little information, but without actually getting in there and looking at the systems manually, you don't really have much information.
Well, that's what I'm going to want to do, is beam to the runabout.
Yeah, we need to beam to the runabout and try to hide as much as we possibly can and be quiet, and then check that out first and foremost, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, if the runabout's only 100 yards away, or, you know, 100 yards-ish, like, there's no way that these people haven't already seen it.
Well, is there cover?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a rainforest.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they didn't see it.
How would you not know that something crashes?
Shh. I forgot about that, okay? Shut up. Let's just go to it. Let's go.
Yeah, we just gotta go.
Transporter Chief, beam me and these two losers to the runabout.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow, Shkel.
It's not what I meant.
So you easily are transported down to Wait.
I want to retcon that we took phasers and shit, right? Yes. Okay. Go for it.
Unarmed, completely unarmed. We didn't even bring our comm badges.
Fuck it. Going off the grid.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. They're going to get weirded out. We don't want to weird them out.
I mean,
Just go naked.
I doubt there's a lot of chance that they're not going to get weirded out, friends.
You don't look like deer, that's for sure.
I look nothing like a deer. Me especially.
But you're all dear to me.
Oh, God.
You beam down to the runabout.
Great.
When your vision clears, you find yourself in a forest clearing in front of the crashed runabout. A gentle drizzle falls. In the runabout's wake, a line of collapsed trees extends about a kilometer behind it, showing the path of the doomed runabout's final landing. The foliage about you crackles as rain falls upon the leaves. There's no one around. I mean, there's no one here to greet you. It's quiet, and the runabout looks like shit.
Okay. Well, I, for one, if I can get into the runabout, that's where I'm going first, and I'm going to start checking the systems.
Yep. Sure. Same.
Okay.
Straight to the engine room for Lieutenant Shkel.
Sure. Yeah. Give me the engineer, Danny. Will you give me a computer check, computer use check? Deanna, are you looking for, what are you looking at?
On second thought, I might actually stay outside, kind of keep an eye out, but also just kind of scan the area for, sort of humanoid tracks, that sort of thing.
Just give me a plain old search check.
Search.
Susie, I rolled an 11. At at computer use.
Okay.
Ugh, that was bad. 7.